When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. This is a Herd at Sports podcast. Justin here along with the cousins, Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast for all podcast updates and more. This week, we will be looking towards the spring. We will be talking about the strengths and weaknesses of the position groups headed into spring camp. So again, this is headed into spring camp where we are. And also, we do have to talk about Trev Alberts a little bit because last week after we recorded, the very next day, what happens? Trev Alberts drops a bombshell on us. So we're not going to speak very long. We're not going to talk very long about Trev Alberts. I'm sure all of our listeners has a little bit of Trev Alberts fatigue. I think we're kind of there also, but we're going to touch on that. And then also we got to talk Nebraska ball, guys. We've been like putting this off for quite a while. I mean, we got some great news to talk about. I mean, it's finally worth talking Nebraska ball on this podcast. So let's get into it. I'm excited to talk Husker football as well as you guys are, Derek, Tyler. So, Derek, talk to us about the quarterbacks.
All right. As everybody knows, we got an awesome recruit in Dylan Raiola this offseason. Another five-star quarterback who we're all excited to see. Henrik Harburg's coming back. We also got Daniel Kalin coming out of Nebraska as a recruit. This room's a little thin. We only got three scholarship quarterbacks. This room's a little scary, I think, for that reason. I don't know what to say about it. We're very limited on experience outside of Henrik Harburg, who we don't think's probably going to be starting anyway. So it's a little scary to me just due to the fact that I don't know who's going to push Dylan Raiola at this point. So.
Tyler, your thoughts on the quarterback room?
Well, I think that the headlines is obviously the two incoming freshmen. Dylan Raiola, a lot of pressure on his shoulders. We've talked about it at length, so I'm not going to bring it up. What I'll talk about is Harburg. I think that we know that he probably doesn't have a shot at this, but I will just call out Harburg took a big step forward last year. He returns. He led the team in passing. He led the team in rushing. He, for his first time really getting meaningful snaps, impressed me from what I thought he could do. So, Derek, I don't know if he's going to push Rail in the spring, but I think there's a chance. I think it's on the board. And while I would love to see him maybe move to tight end, the thinness in this room doesn't allow it. So, like it or not, he's the guy that I think right now you're looking at pushing Rail in the spring.
He's the only guy. I mean, there is nobody. I mean, we hope that Henrik Harburg is taking a bigger jump than what he did last year because, yeah, you know, he took kind of Husker Nation. He kind of took us for a ride a little bit, especially with his legs. I mean, the things that he was doing in games early on, they were really special. They were fun to watch. He was getting us wins. But it was kind of like he hit his peak, like, in game one or two, you know? And it was just kind of a slow ride down. And so he wasn't the same quarterback as he was by the end of the year. And, you know, he was probably banged up. I'm sure he was. But his throwing motion, He was not an elite quarterback by no means. What made him special was the use of his legs. So I'm kind of curious on how this quarterback battle is really going to be, because Dylan Raiola, he's not going to be a Henrik Harburg run guy, right? He's the pocket guy that's going to be throwing the ball all over the field. Strong arm. He's going to use it. Harburg, I mean, they're two completely different quarterbacks. But Derek, what did you want to say?
Well, I was going to say, I think as the season progressed, injuries definitely played a sure. part in that. But with his style of play, you're never going to keep him healthy.
Right.
So the lack of depth at quarterback is a scary thought.
The depth is absolutely terrible. Two guys that have just, I mean, they just enrolled in college 2 months ago. The other guy has, you know, what, 8 games experience playing?
Well, and, you sit here and go, well, maybe it's going to be tough for him to pick up the playbook, but Henrik Harburg's going to pick up a whole new playbook too, because I assume they're changing the whole offense with these two young guys. They're not going to expect – Tyler said it himself. These guys aren't going to run the offense that Henrik Harburg ran last year.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So now you're changing the whole playbook again, and it's kind of starting over for everybody, you would think.
All right, so Derek, you led this off. Is this a strength or weakness of the team?
This is a weakness. It's the lack of depth and experience in this room. I can't call it a strength until I see what's going on.
Okay. Tyler?
Yeah, Derek, I'm aligned, right? I think right now you have to look at this as a weakness. I think overall I expect quarterback play to be better than last year. This could be a great spring game away from being a strength going into it, but until you see something out of this room, here are some reports, I think you got to put this in the weakness category.
Yeah, I agree. I have weakness as well. Too much inexperience right there. We're all riding on... We're all hopeful that Dylan Raiola is going to be the quarterback that we think he's going to be. And there's a lot riding on that. So,
I just fear, before you move on, I just fear that not having somebody to push him and almost being handed the job is going to be a detriment to him.
Could be.
It's kind of like Adrian Martinez, you know? Adrian Martinez never really got better because nobody was ever pushing him.
I mean, that first year, Tristan Jebbia competed with him in the spring. I mean... I don't want to say that there's no one that Luke
and McCaffrey, that was probably his best year.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to read that. The whole pushing someone, if Dylan Raiola is dependent on someone else really pushing him to really truly compete, I think there's bigger issues there. I don't know if I read a lot into that.
Tyler, running backs.
Yeah. Well, enter equation, Dante Dodwell, the former number 9 running back recruit in the country, comes to Lincoln from Oregon. You know, he is going to be in that backfield competing with Emmett Johnson, who was a pleasant surprise last year. I think he had over 457 total yards from scrimmage, 2 touchdowns, definitely impressed, something that we didn't really think we'd see out of him. You also have Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson coming back. Both are not expected to be 100% in the spring. And the depth after there really dies with only one more scholarship on roster in Quentin Ives. So depth is definitely a concern in this room heading into the spring. The plus on the two guys that are out is, from an experience factor, you're not looking from a lot there. You don't need them to take a major step forward. You really just need them to get healthy. So maybe limited participation in spring is actually a good thing in this case.
Derek, thoughts on running back room?
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with this Dante Dowdle. He's pretty limited in experience. Only had, I think, 90 yards last year rushing. So it's not like he's bringing a ton of experience with him. It sounds like he's a good running back. I don't know that he's going to jump into the front of the line to start. I'm sure he'll get some playing time. You talk about Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson. We know they're probably not going to play much in the spring. Emmett Johnson was a massive surprise last year. Quentin Ives, we still have no clue what we're getting out of. This room's another one that's fairly scary to me. There's a lot of names there, but can we keep any of them healthy long enough to make a difference?
Yeah. I mean, you guys said it all. I mean, the injuries are a concern. Will Gabe Irvin, Ramir Johnson, will they ever return back to the running backs they were once capable or that they were capable of? Emmett Johnson, I expect him to be the starter. I like Emmett Johnson. I think he's very versatile. I like what I saw out of him. He's only going to get better. But what's behind him? I mean, God, all of the injuries that we had at running back last year, you know, throwing Anthony Grant getting hurt, that was a nut. That year was nuts last year. Dante Dowdle. I mean, Tyler, tell us why you're so high on this. I'm not sure.
I mean, first of all, he has the recruiting prowess, and you're like, well, he didn't play a lot last year. That Oregon backfield was stacked. So, I mean, if all things are equal and you bring in a top 10 running back, like, I'm not ready to sit there and say, well, he had to sit behind some studs in Oregon for a year. He's not going to be good. Is he an all-conference guy? Probably not. But with him and Emmett Johnson back there, like, I think that is a formidable two-headed attack. And again, if you get anything out of Gabe and Ramir, I think that is a bonus. And I don't think at this juncture you're counting on them. I mean, it's gravy if you get significant snaps out of them. In the spring, again, I don't expect a lot. But right now, when I just evaluate this room, again, limited participation doesn't concern me. I think those two stack up with any running back duo in the Big Ten.
Strength or weakness headed into the spring?
A strength.
Strength? Derek?
I got a weakness. Until we can prove that we can stay injury-free a little bit, Dante Dowdle's still going to have to prove something to me. I mean, I get he was behind some studs at Oregon. I understand that. And I understand he was a high recruit. But he just the lack of experience has me a little worried. And then he's coming into a new offense. We don't know if he's gonna how fast he's going to pick that up. I mean, it's like you said, Tyler. You're basically relying on a true freshman coming in here and being part of this rotation. He's starting over, right?
I guess, but I remember a guy like MJ Sherman came into town. Everyone was really high on him as a high recruit who really hadn't done anything, and he had been around a while.
And it came back to bite us in the ass, didn't it?
I mean, did it? I mean, Tommy Hill, another guy, high
and that
recruit.
And that took 2 years to get him to good.
I don't need him to be all conference. Can he come in there and be a formidable 1-2 punch? I think he has that ability. I'm shocked you guys are so low on him. Like, of all the transfers we got,
I'm not low on him. I just want to see something out of him before I call him a strength.
Look, I'm looking at the entire running back room as a whole. I mean, you know, Dante, he may end up being our best running back. But when Gabe Irvin's had injury issues his whole life, Ramir Johnson, he's banged up. It's a weakness. Quentin Ives,
but you don't view... What about Emmett Johnson?
I like Emmett Johnson.
I mean...
But didn't he even get banged up last year by the end of the season?
Yeah.
I believe he missed the Iowa game.
If the reason you are concerned about this room is because of injury, then I would just probably... That's obviously a risk. That's a risk with every position group we have. And maybe there's more so at running back. Fair enough. I just think Emmett Johnson has a chance to be a 1,000-yard running back, which is something Nebraska has been lacking for a while. I think you get Dante coming in, and, hey, maybe he can come in and give us another 400-500 yards. Like, I think that formula is there to be a really good room.
Tyler, I'm talking about headed into spring.
I saw a lot from Emmett Johnson last year.
I didn't see Dante play. I mean, headed in the
spring.
Let's
talk about Emmett Johnson.
I like him. We're one deep. In my eyes, we're one deep at running back.
I'm with you, Justin. Right now, I think we're one deep. Dowdle could be he could be all conference for all I know, by the time it's said and done. But heading into this spring, I'm not giving him that credit yet.
I mean, we have a
maybe he has deep. A huge spring, and I'm completely changed. A 180 here, but until I at least see something out of him.
You have like...
It's the same as Raiola. Like, Raiola's a huge recruit, but I'm not willing just to sit here and go, well, he's the best quarterback of all time at Nebraska because he was a 5-star.
Well, you have... in your top three running backs headed into the spring, Emmett Johnson, Dante, and Quint Knives. They're like combined for less than 600 yards in their entire career.
If you want to say that the fact that Gabe Irvin isn't going to take all the snaps in the spring and Ramir Johnson, that they are not factors, then okay, if that's the stance you want to sit on. Like,
that's
I'm
what
not
Matt
talking
Rule
about.
Said.
I'm going off again, Matt Rule. But these guys don't need development. This is not a situation where, like, I'm not going to sit there. So, Justin, my question, this is where the premise of this annoys me. So are you going to sit here and say, well, they're healthy at the end of spring. Now it's all of a sudden it's a strength. Like, is that the bar that you're sitting at?
No. We already said they have injury
concerns.
What
the hell are you talking
about
bringing up the – so what difference does it make how many snaps the three deep in the spring? You expect them to be ready by fall. They don't need a lot of spring reps.
Because how long are they going to be ready? I mean, I hate being this guy, but Gabe Irvin has been hurt, like, so fast in his career. Every year. Like, he plays three games and he's done.
Yeah.
And that's been, what, 2-3 years now? It's hard for me to imagine all of a sudden he's just going to play a full season and be that guy.
I don't know. We'll see. So, we're divided here. Tyler, you have strength. We have weakness. Jumping over to wide receiver. So we're losing Billy Kemp and Marcus Washington off of last year. Two of our better wide receivers. We bring in Jamal Banks out of Wake Forest. 59 catches, 653 yards, 4 touchdowns last year. Then we took a gamble on a kid from Texas, Isaiah Nair. He played one game in 2 seasons at Texas. He had a pretty good year in 2021 at Wyoming, 878 yards receiving, 12 touchdowns, and he was second team all Mountain West. So, you know, and he was good at Wyoming. Not good the last 2 years, injuries, whatever. Jamal Banks is good, but guys, there's not a lot there. I mean, there's a lot of hype behind Jalen Lloyd. He was awesome as a deep threat. 6 catches, 237 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Malachi Coleman, we all expected big things out of him last year. We didn't really see it. There's not a lot there at wide receiver. Is it better than last year? Slightly. But I'm still thinking that, I'll let you guys chime in before we talk strength and weakness here. Derek, what do you think of this wide receiver room?
I actually kind of like this receiver room a little bit better than last year.
Yeah.
Quite a bit better than last year, actually, really. This has been my downfall every year. I tend to lean into the wide receivers. I think they're going to be better. But I liked what Jalen Lloyd did last year in his limited time playing. I liked what Jaden Doss did in his very limited time playing last year. And Malachi Coleman is still, to me, going to be a stud for years to come. And I only expect him to be better than he was last year. Jamal Banks, I'm loving this kid so far. And Tyler, before you bring up Dante Dowdle, there's the difference. The difference is this guy's come in here and he's already been a leader of this team.
Yeah.
And Matt Rhule has done nothing but praise him through and through. He has not mentioned Dowdle once. Jamal Banks has been mentioned numerous times by multiple staff members and multiple media members. Like, he was the first one to speak out of all the players Monday, I believe they spoke with after Rhule.
Yeah.
Was it Monday? Yesterday? That was yesterday. Okay. So, I mean, for him to be the first player out to speak, I think that speaks a little bit of volumes of what they believe this kid can be.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I was going to bring up Dowdle. Not so much for the Banks element, more for the Coleman and Doss. Like, I mean, he had 90 yards at Oregon. Like, I mean, you're saying the 139 that Coleman had makes it that much of a difference at 40 yards, the 20 yards that Doss had. Like, I would think that at this point we're both in the same phase with these guys. They're young kids that are going to take a step forward. To the point you're bringing home with the wide receiver room, I really like this room. I think there's a lot of young guys last year. We talked about the youth the whole year. How are they going to step forward? year two in this system. The talent is there. I expected them to take a step forward. Alex Bullock is still part of this roster. I double-checked that. Last year, he probably didn't do all the things we thought he was going to do with some of the hype, but he is a steady hand. Banks coming in is, I really fully expect him to take a big step forward. I think this room is deep. I think that they have a lot to offer. And as far as upside, I think this spring's a big breakout moment for them. And yeah, the Jalen Lloyd big play factor. I look forward to a quarterback that's probably a little bit more of a passer with him and Coleman, how that matches up. I really like this room.
Well, just to rebuttal that, Tyler, just a little bit. Maybe the difference is, and maybe this isn't fair, maybe this doesn't make a difference to you. The difference to me with Malachi Coleman and Dowdle is I watched Malachi Coleman play. I never seen Dowdle do anything. So maybe that as a fan, because I watched a lot more Nebraska games than I did Oregon games, maybe that makes a difference to me, too.
Catch up on your scouting report, Derek.
Look, we're Husker fans. We're not Oregon fans.
Yeah. I mean, Dowdle had like 55 yards against Portland State, so.
There you go. There's your scouting report. There's well over half his yards in one game against a weak team.
Still more yards than Doss had, period, but that's there. But no.
So it's interesting.
But he played against tougher teams.
Tyler, it's interesting that you use the word that you think this room is deep, because I don't see it that way at all. I mean, who do you think is your starting three? I mean, we're going to do depth chart projections, but I mean, it's almost like
Banks, Coleman, Lloyd would probably be my starting three.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah. And you got IGC coming back. Maybe he could finally do something. He was going to I feel like he could have done something last year had he not got hurt early on.
Yeah. I have this room as a weakness because I just didn't see it very deep. I might feel different about it after the spring. You know, a lot of things that held this room back last year. And let me say, I do like this room a lot better than last year. Last year, it was terrible, but a lot of it had to do with the quarterbacks. We didn't have quarterbacks that could get the guys the ball. We think that Dylan Rangel is going to be able to get these guys the ball a little bit more so they can showcase their ability. So that is a plus right there. But you know, going off of last year, I don't know. I still think it's a weakness. I'm not thinking that this is going to be a strength for the team. Derek, what do you have this team or this position group?
I could have went 50-50 on this. I could have went either way, but I went slightly as a strength right now. I do like the depth in this room. I do like the fact that most of these guys that we're talking about have at least a year under their belt now, as opposed to like last year where we was relying on all true freshmen.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like the fact they're going into another year. We also have some young guys that might be able to come in and do something too, but we don't have to rely on them. And so I think that's a big deal. I'm going to go with slight strength on this one.
Tyler.
Yeah, I got this as a strength. I think our wide receiver core is deeper than it's been. I think that there's a lot of upside with this talent group. I think spring's a big period for them. We got to get through injury free. We got to see these wide receivers take the next step. But I think both of them are on the plate. Plus, I think just a little bit better quarterback play is naturally going to help this room. So I think this is a strength.
All right, moving to tight ends. Derek.
All right, so, you know, tight ends is the ever more we're going to get tight ends involved in the offense more. We hear it every year, right? But this is a year where, like, you almost have to see it have to happen, right? Thomas Fedoni took a big step forward last year, ended up leading the team in touchdown receptions. Now you got Carter Nelson coming in with Nate Borkature returning. Luke Lindenmeyer kind of had his moments. He's more of a blocking tight end. I get it. But, man, I like this room. I think this is a good room. This is probably one of the better rooms on the offense. So I have no complaints on this room. I expect to see Fedoni take an even bigger step forward.
Tyler.
Well, I think you've talked about Fedoni. You know, he is obviously the guy. And I apologize. I was trying to find this. And is Carter Nelson an early enrollee?
No, he's not.
Okay. So I think that the presence of him, I thought he was at, for some reason, but then I know he was still playing basketball recently. Yeah,
that was the reason he stayed in, is because he wanted to win state in basketball.
He didn't. That was a mistake. I swore he was an early enrollee this whole time, and then like I said, when he was playing the state championship, I'm like, something doesn't add up here. But with that said, I mean, his presence will probably elevate this room after the spring. Even if he was there, I don't know if it changes it. I really see this as a one-man room in Fedoni. You talked about injury with Irvin and Ramir, and I don't know how much more confident you have with Fedoni. I mean, he has battled injuries pretty much his whole time at Nebraska. I think
he stayed healthy all last year.
He stayed healthy last year. Hopefully he does again, because I think it's him. But even with him, I mean, last year he didn't wow as much as I think we all thought he would. I think, and after him, there's no one. I mean, there's no one I have confidence in.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because headed into last year with Nate Borkercher, we all had high hopes for him last year. He was coming off of a pretty good freshman year where he looked really good towards the end of the season. He looked like that he could give Fedoni a run for his money. I mean, we kind of talked about that on the podcast. He didn't have a great year offensively. I mean, he's good with blocking, but I expected a little bit more plays out of him last year. I think the playmaking ability is definitely there. I think he has it. I'm just not sure why we didn't see it. This is another room that could benefit from better quarterback play, right? But I do like this room overall. I can't wait to see Carter Nelson. I wish he did enroll early, because he would have been fun to watch at the spring game. But yeah, head of spring, I like this. Thomas Fedoni, he's a stud. Nate Brokercher. So, Derek, strength or weakness?
I'm going strength. I think Fedoni, as long as he stays healthy, he automatically makes this room a strength.
Tyler?
I'm on the opposite end here. I think this is a weakness for the team.
How the tide has turned. Because I believe you were all on board with these tight ends last year.
I was.
Year I was not, and now tides have turned.
I mean, I think our tight end stats got worse year over year. Like, I
not really.
Fedoni could be an all-conference
guy. That was
guy.
The most touchdown passes a tight end's caught in since 2008, I think I read.
I think someone needs to fact check you there, stat boy. There was 4 touchdowns. I feel like Jack Stoll had some years where he put up some.
He never had more than 2 touchdowns, I'm pretty sure. Maybe 3.
I think Fedoni could be great. I would like to see him get through spring healthy. That's probably the big obstacle there. We'll see what Carter Nelson does when he gets here after that. But right now, I got to go weakness.
I got it as a strength. I like who we have returning, and it's only going to get better once Carter Nelson, once he joins the team. Strength. So, Tyler, offensive line to you.
Yeah, I mean, so I kind of just an overview on this room, not necessarily for the spring, but first of all, I mean, there are 21 scholarship offensive linemen on roster. It is a high number. A lot of these guys are there. This offensive line is anchored by somewhat surprising the return of Bryce Benhart and Ben Scott. Micah Mazuka comes in from his time at Florida and Baylor. I think everyone expects him to be a key transfer. I mean, I think when you look at the headlines of the spring, it's going to be, can Teddy get through healthy? I think that's all eyes are on that. But, I mean, this is a line last year that a lot of guys got playing time. Yes, we lose Piper and Nuelli, but you know, guys like Sam Sludge, I think, is going to take a step forward. We were second in the Big Ten in rushing last year. We improved in sacks, and I think a wild card here is Raquan Buckley moving over to offensive line. I think there's a lot to like about this room. My place right now is last year. I think the offensive line took a small step forward. If they take another small step forward, does that get them to a strength of this team? I don't know. Like how much of a jump do you think they have to make? And at this juncture, how much more of a jump do you think guys like Bryce Benhart and Ben Scott are going to make? I mean, I think they were good last year, but at this point, do you see them at this juncture making this giant leap forward? is kind of my question mark there. So I think there's a small step forward in this offensive line. I don't know. I think we're waiting for some of these young guys to come through.
I'm kind of shocked that you called last year like a small step forward. I thought it was they took a bigger step forward than
the previous year. They were
arguably as the year went on, too.
Yeah, they were arguably one of the worst offensive lines, if not the worst, 2 years ago. Yeah. Last year, I mean, what were they, bottom four in the Big Ten, probably? You know, somewhere below average. Again, my thing is, if you're looking at strengths and weaknesses, do I think they're going to be above average offensive line in the Big Ten? And I think there's still some question marks there. I need to see a little bit more out of them.
Derek?
I'm with you, Tyler, but there was few names I thought you kind of left off. Maybe I just didn't hear them. But like Justin Evans Jenkins played a lot last year.
Looked good at the end of the year.
There were times he was very, very impressive. Henry Lutovsky kind of, I know he struggled a little bit, but I think there's a lot of potential in that kid, and he could take a huge step forward. But I will say this too, Tyler, I'm with you. Like guys like Corcoran and Ben Hart and Prohaska, they've been in this program for 3-4 years now, and you haven't seen them take a huge step forward yet.
You said Ben Hart in that? Hart took the biggest step forward of all linemen last year. He became our best
lineman. You're right, he did. I don't know if he was our best lineman, but he took a huge step forward. He was the one guy that maybe took a huge step forward. But does he have another huge step to take? Because he still wasn't great.
He was good. I mean, I'll tell you this. He doesn't need to take a huge step. It would be great. He would definitely
anchor. I think he does. And Tyler, you talk about us being one of the top rushing attacks in the Big Ten, but let's not forget that a lot of that was due to a matter of like 3 or 4 games where we really ran the ball very, very effectively. I mean, there were a lot of games where we did not run the ball worth a broke dick.
Yeah, you're right. I like this room. I think it was huge that Bryce Benhart and Ben Scott decided to return for their senior year. Micah Mazzucca? I don't know. Tyler, how do you say that?
Mazzucca.
Mazzucca? Mazzucca?
Mazzucca? Mazzucca?
Yeah, that guy. I mean, he's going to be a great addition to this team. I really like this room.
His brother's a running back on this team.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a walk-on running back.
I did not know that. Okay. The more you know. No, just all the guys, I think they're very experienced. This is probably the most experienced offensive line group that we've had in a long time.
Since last year?
Yeah, we had a lot of experience last year. I mean, but are we more experienced this year? In terms of, like, total starting experience. I don't know. We'll see when the magazines come out, but I'm like,
I don't hate this room by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm with you, Ty. I wonder how much more of a step forward they can take.
I expect another big step forward.
I think this is a room that's going to be pushing up to that line. And I think, you know, if you talk to me in a few months, I might be saying this is a I'll go first. I this is a weakness today. I think there's a chance if Teddy can get through the spring healthy, which is, knock on wood, big question mark. If he gets through healthy, there's a chance I might be transferring this to a strength. I certainly don't think this is a bad room. I just, you know, it seems like the progress here has been pretty slow. From what you would hope.
Derek?
I'm with you, Tyler. I this is another room that I probably could have went either way. They're kind of borderline with me. But I went slightly with a weakness just because I have to take a stand, right?
Yeah. I have this as a strength. I really like this room coming back, the steps that they're taking. I mean, if you look at the offense, if anything's going to make this offense go, it's going to be the offensive line. And I like who I see there. I like the experience. Moving to defensive line. Talk about experience. You know, keeping the entire defensive line intact. Nash Hutmacher and Ty Robinson returning for their senior year. That was impressive. You know, adding in guys like Jamari Butler and Cam Lenhart and Prince Umanmielen. I mean, we had 32 sacks last year. The defensive line that are returning this year were responsible for 17.5 of those sacks. And that's even including like a walk-on like James Williams, who made a name for himself late in the year last year. He had 2 sacks. This is a really good group. I mean, this is good. We're going to have to ride the defensive line, I think, as we talk about some of these other position groups on defense. But what is not to like about this? This is a very impressive group that we have here. Tyler?
I mean, I don't have a lot to add here. I mean, you talk about this room. I mean, this is clearly a strength of this team. I mean, you look at the guys that we have back. Obviously, you hit Nash. But, you know, Jamar Butler had 8.5 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks. Ty Robinson has been just an absolute stud every year, getting a little bit better. He's a man against boys out there. And then you have the 2 stud freshmen coming back for another year in Prince Will and Cam Lenhart. I mean, this room, you got to feel good about right now. And, yeah, I think it's a clearly a very impressive group. Don't want to tip my hand, yeah.
Well, I want to go back to what Tyler was talking about, Ben Hart and Scott coming back, and how important that was. There was nothing more important than Nash Hutmacher and Ty Robinson coming back to this room. These guys are going to be studs again this year. They were studs last year. Cam Lenhart was just absolute beast when he came in. He's only going to get better. This room is massive. This room is – I was the only one that had any faith in this room last year about this point in time. Hey, Tyler, you're looking at me like I'm stupid, but I was the only one that said this room could be a strength.
Yeah, I wasn't high on this room last year.
I wasn't either, but, you were higher on them. I'll give you that.
Hey, how much better?
I was quite a bit higher on them than you guys were. And now
I'll get my redemption. I told you so here in about 8 minutes, so stay tuned for that.
Hey, how much better is Nash going to get after going wrestling and just absolutely kicking ass in wrestling this year? I mean, how scary is that dude going to be on the defensive line in the fall?
I guess it depends if he can put the weight back on.
That's the question.
But if he can lose it that fast, I'm pretty sure he can put it back on pretty fast.
God, he is a beast.
He is a beast. I've loved that kid since he got here, and I've always hoped that he would finally come into what he did last year.
Yeah. Go ahead, Derek. I'm sorry, you were talking about something. I just wanted to bring that up.
I went off of, I don't know what you guys went off of. I went off of Husker Max's roster, and Tyler, you brought up Prince Will and Umanmielen. Husker Max has him as a linebacker. So I have him in the linebacker group. But I think he's a guy that could probably play either way. I think he did last year as well. But
don't mind Tyler. He's distracted by NBA, I think. Either that or Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars? Is that on?
I have no idea. Yeah.
But I guess if we're doing it, Tyler already gave his away. So this is an absolute strength of this team. There's no denying it. This is possibly one of the best defensive line in the Big Ten, I think.
Could be. Derek, linebackers.
Justin, did you all say right. This is strength?
Oh, yes. Definite strength.
Okay. I didn't hear you.
Sorry. Sorry. It was kind of a, I don't know. I figured it was kind of a given after all that praise.
Linebackers is a tricky one. Linebackers, you know, we lose Nick Henrich. He retired, and you lose
Luke Reimer.
Your boy, Luke Reimer. This room, you would get to the point where you think, oh, man, this could be a scary situation. But you got John Bullock coming back, and he played well last year. Prince Will, I have him listed as a linebacker because that's what Husker Max has him listed as. Javon Wright had his moments last year. Mekhi Bayer was a stud for a while there last year. MJ Sherman had his moments. And now you got Maverick Noonan coming back in, who they thought would play a lot last year, and he got hurt. So he didn't see any playing time, but you hope he can get back to playing form. Losing those two linebackers are probably a pretty big deal, but I still like this room overall. Like, I think this room's, there's a lot of talent there, and there's a lot of guys with experience who you expect to get better.
Tyler?
Yeah, I think this room kind of boils down to a couple things for me. I think, one, the addition of Stephon Thompson is going to be a big deal. I think he can definitely come in and play the role. He has familiarity with the system. I think that you look for him to be a contributor. I do like John Bullock. I like Javion Wright. I think he played well when given chance last year. MJ Sherman. But really, this room comes down to my confidence in the defensive staff. I think when you look at Tony White and blanking on our linebacker's coach name, Bueller?
It's Dvoracek.
Rob
Dvoracek.
There you go. Sorry about that. I can't remember his name, but I have immense confidence in him to help. I was going to say Cooper. And I was like, I know that's not the right coach, but about to get there in a second. But
the butcher strikes again.
The butcher. Hey, at the end of the day, I have great confidence there. I think there's talent in this room to be had. Good transfer coming in. I think there's a lot to like in this room. Obviously, losing Reimer and Henrich is a big deal. That's going to be something we're going to have to overcome.
Replacing those guys is going to be difficult, but Javion Wright, he had a very good year last year. He was did you guys realize he was tied for second in total tackles last year with 51? And then John Bullock was right behind him with 50. But there's two guys out here that we kind of talked about earlier. MJ Sherman, Chief Borders, when they came in, we had high hopes for them. They weren't special last year. They have to prove themselves. They have to take a big step up. But
just FYI, and then again, this is off Husker Max, but the roster on Husker Max has Chief Borders moved to defensive line.
Okay, so I'm going off of On3 and their scholarship distribution chart.
That's what I was looking at.
That's what I printed off. So I'm just using this for the reference, but
I don't know. I don't know if one's updated more than the other, but
this was last.
I guess
updated. Last month.
Let's be honest. I don't think either know for sure. I guess, but you can say whatever. I don't think either know for sure where these guys are going to play at this point. I think we need to get
probably not, because if the staff has proven anything, is that they're willing to play guys at multiple positions.
Right, but guys like Mekhi Bayer, you know, he started off the year strong, and then he just kind of went on hiatus. I mean, there's like stretches where you just didn't see him anymore and you expected to see him.
But remember, I think if I remember right with Bayer, was he got moved positions because there was an injury that happened and he ended up having to move, I think, out to the Jack linebacker. And I don't know that it fitted him as well.
Okay. Tyler, what do you like about Stephon Thompson? You mentioned him as a plus. I mean,
I do, and you're asking me to find my stats on him.
I kind of forgot about him. He was a good transfer coming from Syracuse.
Yes, and obviously he played under limited the Tony White action, system. Right? Well, no, he played a lot.
Did he?
Oh, where's my?
But he had
11 pressures last year. I mean, there was talks about him going with NFL talent, trying to pull up all of his stats here as you make me flip back through some of my old notes here. Again, I'm not saying he's starting right away, but you have a guy who's familiar with Tony White's system, who had put pressures on at Syracuse, handpicked by Tony White to come here. I mean, I think that says that he can definitely be a contributor.
Okay.
I don't disagree with you, Tyler, right? I forgot to mention him just because, for some reason, he's always on the back of my mind when it comes to the linebackers. I keep forgetting he came in for some reason.
He was a late transfer, I think.
He was.
So, Derek, strength and weakness for the linebackers.
This is the only one on the defense I really struggled with. I think you could almost go weakness because of losing the two guys you did. And then we talked about MJ Sherman not doing what we thought he would. But I see these names if Prince Wolf's back there and Javon Wright was awesome. Bayer had his moments where I think he could take a huge step forward. I still got to go strength here. I think this linebacker crew is still a good room. I don't know. I got to go strength still.
Tyler?
Strength. I trust the coaches enough. I think there's enough talent coming back. Strength.
Yeah, I call this a weakness, actually. I think there's a lack of quality depth there. I mean, there's a lot of guys that need to take a huge step up. And I don't know. I don't see it yet. I mean, I am on the cusp.
I'll say this. This is the weakness of the defense.
Yeah. Sure.
If there is a weakness of the defense, this is probably it.
Sure. I agree with that. All right, final position group. Tyler, defensive backs.
Yeah. Guys, we have another Tommy turnover in the house, but this way it's a good one. Tommy Hill, I told you guys, don't sleep on him.
Take away Tommy.
Oh, take away Tommy. I like Tommy turnover 2.0. No, last year he came in and obviously blew everyone away. I think he had a lackluster first year in the program. Last year he came in and had 4 interceptions, was all over the field, 9 passes defended. Definitely stepped up. You know, he is back there with our leading tackler, and Isaac Gifford comes back. Obviously, 2 of our best defenders last year, 2 guys you're looking at this year to lead the way. But what kind of really impresses me is the next guys after that. You know, Marquise Buford last year definitely dealt with some injuries earlier, ended up coming back later in the season, got his 4 games in, stayed under the red shirt and looked good in those moments. Singleton's kind of the opposite, started the year off strong, but got dealt with an injury in Backweld. And a guy that's a fan favorite on this show, Malcolm Hartzog. I don't want to call it a sophomore slump because I don't think it was really a slump. I would say he probably didn't progress quite as much as we all thought, but he had a good year last year. I think he could take another step forward this year. So I think you look at that starting backfield, it is as good of a position group as we have on this team. Depth does get a little bit of concern. A lot of this will be made up after the spring with all these young guys and see how they develop. But I think when you just look at that top line defensive backfield, stack them up against anyone in the Big Ten.
To your point, Tyler, 14 out of the 24 are... 16 out of the 24 are freshmen.
Yeah, 16 are true freshmen or redshirt freshmen.
That is insane. Derek, your thoughts on defensive backs?
Yeah, it's a great room. The starting role, like Tyler, you mentioned them all. I'm not going to go through them again, but getting Buford back healthy is going to be a massive for this defensive backs room. Losing Newsom is going to probably hurt a little bit. But I think there's enough room back there, especially with Tommy Hill being what he was last year. And you hope Malcolm Hartzog can get back on track. I do think he had a bit of a sophomore slump, but he was also picked on a ton. So we'll see what happens. But I like this room.
Yeah, I like it. This is a big strength. You know, I meant to mention this earlier, but I think this is as good of a time to say it. Everybody that's returning back, I mean, we have 0 all-conference guys returning last year. Granted, we only had 1 all-Big Ten guy last year in Luke Reimer. But I think Tommy Hill, I think he kind of got jobbed. I thought he could have been an all-Big Ten selection last year because I like him. I think he's the star of this defensive backfield by far.
I'll say this. They need to leave him alone in the defensive side of the ball. Quit bringing him into the wide receiver side. He's great about taking the top off the off the defense, but he's not great at catching the ball, I don't think. Not on offense for some reason. On defense, he's a ball hawk. But.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, this is a strength to me. Tyler?
Strength.
Derek?
Absolute strength.
Okay, so we all agree on there. So the final part of this exercise is to rank them 1 through 8 from strength to weakness. I'll go ahead and I'll start. My number one strength of this team is defensive line. You got to love all those guys returning. My number two is going to shock you. I have offensive line as the strength. I think Nebraska, they're going to win in the trenches this year. I love what they have in the trenches. My number three is this team, this position group we just talked about, defensive backs. My number four is tight end. Now we're getting into the four position groups that I listed as weaknesses. And I like the running backs the best. They're my fifth ranking position group. Number six is linebackers. Seven is quarterbacks based off of the inexperience. And my number eight, it's wide receivers. I'm not a fan of that room right now. I think they got a lot of work to do. So got to see it. Tyler.
Yeah, same number one, defensive line. I think that's our best position group. It has the depth. But right there next to it is defensive backs. I think that there was a back and forth in my head which one I was going to put number one. I would definitely look at both of those two. Number three, again, I was the odd man out here, but I like the running back room. I really trust Emmett Johnson. I think he is the guy. I like what we have there. Number four, more out of just trust of the defense than probably the guys, while there is talent there, but I'm going to go linebackers, number four. Number five, the position group that was probably the, well, I don't even say the closest, the lowest of the strengths was the wide receivers. I do like Coleman. I like Lloyd. I think you're looking at Banks coming in. I think that's a good starting. I think there's a lot of young guys that could play. IGC, Bullock, kind of helping some seniority. I like that. To the weakness, the position I think is the closest to the strength position I am probably one great spring game away from calling a strength is quarterback. Dylan Rayl, I have a lot of faith in. I just need to see a little bit. It's too hard to say a true freshman is there. Offensive line, just I love your optimism. I'm just not there yet. I definitely don't think this is a clear weakness of this team. I think they're definitely a little close to that mediocre place. And my worst is tight end. I think we're a one-man show, and the one man has had injury risk. So I think that's kind of where I'm at.
Derek.
All right. So number one, defensive line. We all agree there. Number two, defensive backs. I think it's hard to disagree with that. Number three, I went with tight ends. I think the tight ends are great. I love Thomas Fedoni. Love what he brings to the table. I think he's going to do great things this year. I like Borkature. I know he's not the stat monster that we would like to see, but I think he's good when he's on the field. Number four, I went with linebacker. I still think all the defense is going to be probably better in the offense. Number five, I went with wide receiver. I think the wide receivers are mostly good. I think we're going to see some good things out of them. And then I only had three weaknesses, really, and it was offensive line. And again, I could have went either way with that one. So I went with offensive line at number six. Number seven, I went with running backs. There's a lack of star power there for me right now. And number eight, the last one, is quarterbacks. We have no depth. We're putting a lot of pressure on a true freshman quarterback that we're all hoping could be better than what we're doing. We don't know what we're getting out of this kid yet. And I'm scared that he's not going to live up to the hype.
Wow. We are all over the board. It's going to be fun to revisit this list after the spring. We'll tweet out these picks later in the week.
So yeah,
go ahead.
Justin, can you remind me your weaknesses? Because you had the most weaknesses on this.
Yeah, team. I had four weaknesses. Running backs. So that was my fifth. Linebacker six, quarterback seven, and wide receiver eight.
So, but my question on your linebackers is, while there is concern, obviously you lost two big players. Like, I'm kind of with Derek. Don't you just think this if the linebackers are truly a weakness at this point, do you think this defense is going to take a significant step back?
Not a significant. I think there's potential there, but so we're missing two. I don't know if we have anybody on that in that linebacking core that is easy replacements of like replacing like Luke Reimer, right?
No, you can't replace Luke Reimer. No. I mean, like so, Luke Reimer was one of the better Huskers we've seen in the last. I mean, we did our best podcast defenders, and I think he was in the conversation for all of ours. I mean, he has been a great Husker.
Right. So we lack star power there, and I don't think that we have quality depth behind them. So, it's weak. I mean, yeah, John Bullock was serviceable. He played okay. Javon Wright, he played okay. But they were far from being stars.
Yeah.
I think Javon Wright, if there's going to be a guy out of that, or those linebackers that could be a star, I think it's going to be Javon Wright. I'm almost positive that he's going to be the guy. But behind him, I mean, they're just, they've very average. I mean,
I don't know. When I look at the top six guys from seniority of Chief Borders, Gabor, Thompson, Baylor, Sherman, Bullock, and Wright, like I look at those six names, I'm like, you're right. Maybe there's not an all conference guy in that bunch, but I also don't really see a lot of dead weight there. I think those are six quality upperclassmen that are definitely going to contribute. Like Derek, you had linebackers as a strength, right? Like I'm not saying they're the best position group, but like when I was looking at mine, they were really close to number three. Them and running backs, I went back and forth on.
Yeah, I think they're. I mean, again, it was one that was kind of like borderline. I probably went either way. I think they are probably the weakness of the defense, but I just don't see a weakness on this defense.
But let's be real;
they'll still be good.
In the rankings, you guys had linebackers number four overall. Three. I had them number six.
I had them three. Oh, I had four. You're right. You had him four. I had him
yeah,
four.
You guys both had four. I had six. We're not far off
no.
on how we rank them.
I guess how I looked at it, like, so when I looked at my list, like, I was very close to walking in here tonight with the Kool-Aid lens on and seven strengths. Like, I really was. I was very close here with tight end being my only weakness. And I was even far off. I could have honestly came here and said eight strengths. I think this is the best Nebraska team we have had in the podcast era. The problem with this team is honestly that none of the strengths, with maybe the exception of defensive line, I think is like top elite. I think there's a lot of really good on this team. The question is how much elite is there? And that's probably where we're lacking to really take that jump in the conference. But
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Tyler. Like when I looked at this, I tried to look at, is there an all conference player or two on this in each position group?
And there's not.
And I mean, there's a lot of them that there's not.
Yeah, you're right. And that's how I kind of ranked them also. I mean, defense, like for me, I'm revisit my defensive line, you know, Nash and Ty. I think they could be all conference.
And they got ripped
guys.
Off. They got ripped line, off think, last year. They should have been all conference players last year. I assume they'll be preseason pretty easily.
Yeah.
Defensive backs, I think there's a couple guys, at least one or two guys in there. Linebackers,
offensive line. I think Bryce Benhart and Ben Scott are two guys that could be.
Maybe
But anyway, guys, we are going long. We will have plenty of time to debate this. We'll revisit this later, after the spring. But let's talk about Trev Alberts, because the day after we posted last week's, or we recorded last week's podcast, the Trev Alberts bombshell dropped where he entered the transfer portal and he's taken his talents to Texas A&M.
Who?
But when that came out, nobody believed. There's a lot of people like, no, that's not true. Why would he leave? Why would he leave? It's like, that's bullshit. That dude's gone. And, Derek, you were, of like a lot of Husker fans out there, very pissed off. So now that still we're am. A week, still, you still are? Okay.
Yeah. He's a traitor ass bitch. Fuck him. I don't like him. He should have his name taken off the stadium. He's done nothing. That guy did nothing but spit in the face of every Nebraskan and leave. That's all he did.
What? I mean, even though he has higher aspirations?
For what? He took the same job. It wasn't like he took a better job. It wasn't like he took a commissioner job. It wasn't like, if he would have got that playoff commissioner job, I'd have been like, okay, I understand that. Go ahead. He took the same job at a different school. That's all he did. And this was a couple weeks after he sat here and told all the Nebraska fans how much he loves this place and how much loyalty means to him and how much integrity means to him and how much there's no better place than Nebraska. And then he turns around and can't even talk to his staff. He has to email them. He didn't have the balls to talk to his staff. He emailed them. What a piece of shit.
So you have not calmed down in the weeks since?
No, I will not calm down. I could care less about Trev Alberts. Get him off. Get him out. I've always said, once a Husker, always a Husker. He is the exception to the rule. He is no longer a Husker in my mind. Fuck him.
Wow. There's a lot of bitterness right there.
I think our PG-13 rating just went out the window on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
allowed. You guys do it all the time, too. I'm allowed to have a little rant there.
No, I mean, Derek, I can't say I completely disagree with you. I'm probably not. Oh, I'm certainly not as passionate on this as you. I mean,
it wouldn't even be so bad if he was taking some higher paying job. But he was set to be one of the highest paid athletic directors in all of college football at $2.1 million a year, plus a $3 million signing bonus if he stays throughout his contract. He just got a huge contract extension. Everyone bitches about the leadership. The leadership did nothing but bend over backwards for this guy. He said he wanted to report to the president. They said, okay, report to the president. He said he wanted to do all these renovations and updates to the stadium. They said, okay, go ahead and do that. He said he wanted a big pay raise. They gave him that. What is it that this guy wanted?
I don't know. More power.
Well, he can go take that power right up to them oil boys.
Tyler.
A lot of things. I think first thing, I think Trev Alberts, his tenure at Nebraska as athletic director was overall a success. I think that he handled the Scott Frost situation good. I think he made a good hire with Matt Rhule. I think he handled the Hoiberg situation elite. I mean, I mean that 9 out of 10 people said you should have fired him. He played that really well. Dividends showing now. The Nebraska volleyball day was a huge success. So I can't say he's a failure. I will say this, that his tenure at UNO is not looked at very fondly. I think that some of his aspirations, namely the stadium project, probably led to his frustration that he bit off more than he could chew there. I was highly critical of that. I think it was a horrible decision when he made it. And I think that he was frustrated because it came to fruition that it was a terrible decision and he wasn't getting the backing that he wanted to get there. And so he bailed. And I don't know if Texas A&M is a better job than Nebraska athletic director. It might be. It might not be. It doesn't matter. It clearly isn't. I think the thing that is frustrating, and the best analogy I could be like, Derek, I'm using you as an example because I would never hire Justin, but it'd be like if I hired you to do a job at my house, and you said, hey, I'll do that for you, Tyler. And then all of a sudden, you just didn't do it. Like, we hired Trev Alberts to come in and help fix Nebraska, and after 2.5 years, he just bailed. And you're right, Derek. We gave him the contract extension. We gave this. And we've seen athletic directors be a little bit of transparent that, like Bill Moose, we didn't expect to be here for a decade. He was fairly transparent in that. Tom Osborne, we didn't expect it. Trev Alberts, like, just lied to us over and over again and about how much it means to be here. And the thing that probably actually irks me the most is that he used Nebraska as a stepping stone. That no other place 5 years ago would have hired Trev Alberts to be their AD. No other major program would have. And Nebraska did because he was a son. And not even 3 years into the job, he bails. Like, it is a complete slap in the face. So, yes, Trev Alberts, I will miss as athletic director because I think he did a good job. I think he took off some projects he shouldn't have. But his character, that's going to be hard for him to overcome.
All right. So let's move on to something a little bit happier.
No stance from you on the Trev Alberts?
I don't give a shit. I mean, I'm disappointed that he left. But if he doesn't want to be here, I'm not upset. I'm like, I don't feel like I've been backstabbed or anything. I mean, thank you for your service.
That's how I'd expect a Texan to feel.
No loyalty.
I tell you what, he's getting second thoughts. When you saw a video of him doing that little sway thing with the all the Aggies and all that stuff, that was the gayest damn thing I've ever seen.
Let's be clear. He is the definition of cringe right now.
Yeah.
He is the definition of cringe.
Hold on. For a perfect analogy here, he is Brett Bielema at Arkansas with the pig suey.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, what did I do? This is so stupid.
That's a good analogy, because good luck to Trev Alberts, because I worry about his tenure at A&M. Like,
I hope they fire him in a year.
I don't know if it'll be a year, but I mean, he's got a lot of work ahead of him, and the advantage of A&M is their budget. Like that's the clear thing that sets it apart. Where you would really question is, are their athletics in a good spot? Do they have the right head coach? Like, he might get a chance to hire a new head coach.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, when? Because they just hired Mike Elko. So not in football, probably. But here, just a little fun fact.
They just paid off Jimbo Fisher $75 million to go to not coach football. They don't care about money.
Ross Bjork, who just left A&M to become Ohio State's athletic director. Trev Alberts was set to make more than that guy here at Nebraska before leaving. So this wasn't a money grab. This wasn't a, I'm going to get paid more.
Did they say how much they're paying, how much Texas A&M's paying Trev Alberts?
I haven't seen yet. But Ross Bjork is only making $1.65 million at Ohio State. I assume he got somewhat of a pay raise leaving Texas A&M to go to Ohio State.
Well, he doesn't like seeing dude cheerleaders. I mean, he wants to go to school with
nobody girl likes to see that except for Trev Alberts, apparently.
So Derek, you would be supportive. I got to ask this last question. I'll get out. The year is 2028. 2035. Scott Frost, Trev Albert, both walk into Memorial Stadium. Who's going to get the louder cheers?
I'm cheering for Scott Frost all day long. I never hated Scott Frost. He was a terrible coach, needed to probably go, but I don't hate Scott Frost. Trev Alberts, I hate.
I don't, Justin, do I have to ask you who you cheer?
Oh, I mean, probably neither one of them, but I'm not going to cheer. But, I mean, Scott Frost did more damage to the Nebraska football program than what Trev Alberts is doing. I mean, it's not even a question. I mean, Scott Frost ruined Nebraska football. Trev Alberts, what his decision-making in this whole thing does not affect that football program. It doesn't affect any of the sports. Nothing's affected. He's just taken his ball and he's headed to College Station. It doesn't
Let's hope Matt Rhule don't follow suit. I mean, he's not going to go to Texas A&M because Trev Alberts ain't going to be able to fire Mike Elko within the next 2 or 3 years.
But I'm just saying, whatever Trev Alberts
let's just hope Matt Rhule don't jump.
It's not affecting the athletic programs.
Very well could. More than you think. And if Matt Rhule decides, you can say what you want, but if Matt Rhule leaves in the next year or two because a better opportunity comes along, and now the guy that he came here to work with was Trev Alberts and Ted Carter, who are now both gone. So if he decides to leave because they're both gone, then
I would not be shocked if Matt Rhule leaves in a few years. I mean, if that Penn State job opens up, it doesn't matter if Trev Alberts is here. It doesn't matter if Ted Carter is here. most likely Matt Rhule's going to take that Penn State job if it's open.
That's the reality. Sure. And if he leaves Penn State, I'll agree with you. If he leaves at the first open opportunity, then I think it's a lot on Trev Alberts.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, it would be nice that that Matt Rhule is doing so well for the football program that somebody wants to hire him instead of fire him, you know?
That still remains to be seen, but let's hope.
All we've had is like fired coaches. None of these coaches have been hired that we've had in the past. So, all right, real quick, let's end on a happier note because there is a lot of happiness surrounding Husker athletics, and it is about Nebraska ball team. Fred Hoiberg, he finally has this team to where, you know, it was like something to be proud of all season long. They make the Big Ten tournament as well as the women did. Great seasons for both of them. But they kind of got screwed. They kind of got screwed because both men and women got paired up with Texas A&M in the tournament. And, I mean, come on. If Trev Alberts had not left, do you guys think that this would have happened? No.
This was a story.
Maybe one of these teams. Maybe one, but not both. It was done for the storylines, right? But anyway, Tyler, talk about the excitement around the Nebraska Bowl.
I mean, we are in the midst of the best Nebraska Bowl season in the last 25 years. We haven't spent a lot of time on this, but like the fact that I turn on Pat McAfee for a little bit and I hear Keisei Tominaga being referenced over and over in that show. Like, we have national spotlight on Nebraska ball. We are entering a tournament game that we are favored in. I couldn't pull this up, but I don't know if that's happened in my lifetime, us entering a game we are favored in the NCAA tournament.
It's happened in your lifetime.
We've only made like five tournaments in my lifetime, so.
Well, in the 90s, I can't remember if it was 91 or 92 or whatever year it was, we were a 3 seed. I'm pretty sure we were favored in that game.
We didn't win it. But like, if you go back to the Big Ten tournament, I mean, you look at the Indiana game, it was an awesome display there. The Illinois game, the first half was amazing. They did what they've done a lot this season and let it fall through in the second half. I don't know why this team has an ability to lose games that they should be winning. But, I mean, it looked like we were going to the Big Ten Championship on 4:30 p.m. on Saturday with a very good shot to win it.
That's fair, but Illinois is a big boy team. And when they started playing their dominance, Nebraska had no answer for them.
We did it, but again, I think this is a team that can make waves in the tournament. I think that there's a lot of reasons for excitement more than just, hey, we made it, which would have been a great year in any other standards. Like, if we made the tournament and didn't win a game, like, that'd be still an awesome year. But the fact that I'm sitting here, you know, at 3:19 thinking, hey, could we be in the Sweet 16 in a week? It's on the board. It's on the board, boys.
Is there added pressure on the team because Trev Alberts goes to Texas A&M and you have the storyline where Nebraska's never won an NCAA game before, and then there's like some added pressure to go beat the AD. I mean, there's just – I know they're not thinking about that, nor should they. They're not talking about it, but it is kind of in the deep back end of their mind, you know, because that's what people are talking about. That's what we're talking about. That's what the – media, that's what they'll be talking about, is that whole storyline with the AD going there. They're going to get asked that question. So do you think that adds to, like, extra pressure, Derek?
Well, I think they've already been asked that question. I think they've already answered
it. And it's not going to stop. They're going to be asked that question multiple times.
Yeah. And they're going to answer the same question. They're going to answer it the same way. This isn't about him. It's about us. It's another reason why it's such a shitty way for Trev Alberts to leave. The timing of it was just terrible. I'm not going to get back into it. The storyline should be about this basketball team. This basketball team has played their ass off all year, both boys and women. Both of them, both those groups have played their ass off. The women played in the Big Ten championship game, and Tyler mentioned it. We were a half of basketball away from playing in the Big Ten championship for men's. This should be about those young adults. I'm not going to call them kids because I hate it when people call college kids kids. But those young adults, it should be about them. It should not be about Trev Alberts. It bothers me that the media is going to ask him, but you're right, they're going to ask him. And it's their job, I get it, but they need to quit making it about him. It's not about him. It is about the players, the coaches. Let's move on and hope to God. Here's my only hope, my biggest wish. If Nebraska can beat Texas A&M by 34 points, I will be a one happy camper.
That would be nice.
And do you know why? Do you know why 34?
I know exactly what you're alluding to. Yeah.
Okay.
But tell the listeners.
All right. So that is Trev Alberts' retired jersey number.
That Derek.
So
Wilson
I
want to
beat them by exactly 34 points.
Hey, out of curiosity, do you know what the line is on the game?
Last I looked, it was minus two. Oh, it went up then. Because last I looked, it was minus two.
Maybe it last time I looked. I don't know. But, yeah, I thought it was 3.5. But
It's gone up. Because I was at 1.5 when I seen it the first time. And then it went up to 2. So maybe it has gone up to 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think with everything going on and all the excitement around KSA, I think, Tyler, you're right. I think that the nation is, there's a lot of people out there rooting for Nebraska. It's kind of like this, kind of like a Cinderella type thing, you know, like they want to see Nebraska go. So guys, will Nebraska be A&M? Yes or no?
Yes.
Derek? God dang it. You're hesitating too much.
I want to say yes, but so let me ask you this, just as a side note here. Does this make this the best basketball team ever if they win this game?
Yes.
At Nebraska. I mean, just Nebraska standards, but.
Yes.
I mean, one victory is going to be interesting. They'll be the most legendary. I mean, you go back to some of those 90s teams. I mean, that's going to be hard to overcome. Sweet 16, though. When we beat Houston,
okay,
hang the banner, hang the damn banner.
We're not going to be Iowa.
If we make the Sweet 16, you better believe we're hanging a banner.
All right, so Derek, if we get past Texas A&M, which you don't even sound convinced that we will, do we beat Houston?
No, absolutely not.
All right.
Houston's really, really good. Like if we can't beat Illinois, there's no way I think we can beat Houston.
You know who beat Houston? Iowa State by 28 points.
I bet Iowa State in that game.
So I don't believe we beat Iowa State this year.
No.
I'm just saying that Houston, obviously they've been a very good team.
You want to say Houston? We have a problem, don't you?
No, I don't want to say. Like I said, Houston has been a very good team this year. They've beat up on a lot of teams by a lot. They have a couple duds in there, but yeah, I mean overall, I don't know. I've got faith. I got faith in the boys.
All right. Well, it'll be exciting. By the time we talk next week, we'll either be saying, you know, how great they were that week, or, you know, be previewing the following weekend. But it is time to get out of here. Special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter, @HuskerCuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcast. Hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. And as always, go Big Red.